Hallelujah. You know, when you bless people that you see, you're blessing the Lord that you don't see. That's why we need to be careful to bless one another, amen, not curse one another. Hallelujah. Well, thank you, Father, today. I thank you, Lord, for everyone that's here. Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name, Father, that you will impart to our hearts everything that we need to hear right now, everything that we need to receive. Lord, we ask you, Lord, you'll just anoint our understanding, God. Help us to hear and understand in our hearts, Lord, that, Lord, not only will we receive this seed, but it will bring transformation. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know how many of you have recently, it was the 7th Congress of Religious Leaders. How many have seen that? This was a United Nations interfaith gathering of religious leaders. There was actually about 100 top, you know, traditional religious leaders from about 50 countries. And the Pope Francis gave part of the homily, or whatever you want to call it. But the focus was world peace through peaceful coexistence. So you had every kind of religion represented there. They put together a final declaration of how to achieve world peace and stability. It's all there online on YouTube. And it's kind of alarming, actually. Some of the things, they sound good. It's, and yes, who doesn't want world peace, right? And that appeals, I mean, to us. And yes, we do want world peace. But how do we have world peace? How do we achieve world peace? And, well, you're not going to get it by exalting man, by exalting the man, Christ Jesus. And he never once, the Pope never once mentioned the name of Jesus. And never once mentioned the cross. And so they want to focus on climate change, political and social activism, and a common belief that mankind held the key to world peace. This was all incorporated into their declaration. Yeah. So, 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." What is our message? Our message is the cross of Christ. Amen. The only way to salvation is through Jesus. In John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." How much clearer can that be? "And no man comes to the Father, what, but by me, except through me." So in order to receive true world peace, you're going to have peace in your hearts. And true peace comes through Jesus Christ. Amen. He is true peace. He is our peace. So what they are suggesting is for man to come together and legislate peace in the earth through social activism and other human means. But this claim that Jesus made, that "I am the way," contradicts the message of the world in the New World Order. And therefore, it is an offense to this whole operation that they are setting up. Because they are going to insist that everyone and every religion will submit to these tenets that they set forth in this declaration. Are you hearing me, somebody? Things are wrapping up quickly. And so if you disagree with their doctrines, then you're being hostile, you see, to world peace. The Bible's very clear, Acts 4:12, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Pretty clear. John 14:27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Do I give you? Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." How many have found true peace in Jesus? It doesn't matter what the politicians are doing. It doesn't matter what the warmongers are up to. Amen. We can have a supernatural peace in the Lord. Hallelujah. And it's the peace of God that will guard our hearts and our minds, keeping us from going crazy. Amen. But we need to get out of our heads and into the secret place with God. We need to worship God in spirit. Amen. The Bible says the Antichrist will come to power through the promise of safety. We're here to keep you safe. He's going to offer world peace and security, right? Prosperity. Someone said, one of these world leaders recently said, everybody is going to be poor and you're going to be happy. Except them, of course. And Daniel talks about this, 8:25 in Daniel, chapter 8, verse 25. And through his policy or his intelligence, also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. Craft means deception or fraud. Interesting. And he shall magnify himself in his heart. This is speaking of the Antichrist. And by peace shall destroy many. Yeah. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes. Who would that be? Is that going to work well for him? No. But he shall be broken without hand. So in other words, this word for peace means security, quietness, and prosperity. Some of you remember, maybe not in your lifetime, maybe, I don't know if there's anybody that can remember, but if you can look at history, you'll see that's how Adolf Hitler deceived people. Through a promise of security, of peace and prosperity, that he was going to give them bread. He was going to take care of everybody. The only thing you needed to do is give up your personal liberties. And in exchange for that, we will give you what you have need of. So giving up your personal liberties in exchange for security. I don't think so. How many know that as a believer, we belong to Jesus? We're his property, and we are not to bow to anyone who would take the place of Christ in our lives. How many know that the Lord is your provider, not the government? The Lord may use the government, but Jesus, amen, is the provider. So we're not to worry about these things, are we? But sometimes we do. Because the enemy knows that if he can get us into fear, he can get us to react to the fear and do things that are not very wise. So we have to really guard against being impulsive and reacting to things that we hear. What we need to do is pray and seek the Lord and ask the Lord what he would have us to do in every situation. It's very basic, isn't it? In all your ways, acknowledge him, the Lord, and he will direct your path. So this false Christ or this Antichrist is going to be able to deceive many into believing that he is the savior of the world. He's going to save us. Isn't it interesting that the devil causes the problem and then he offers to be the solution? We'll make a mess of everything and then make you dependent on us for the help that you need. So this emerging world religion is what it is, exalts man in the place of Christ. And it's setting the stage for the man of sin, the Antichrist, to come on the world scene. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 3 says, let no one deceive you by any means. For that day, what day? The day of the Lord will not come unless the falling away, apostasy, comes first. And the man of sin, who would that be? The Antichrist is revealed, the son of perdition. What day? The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him. Verse 1. Falling away means a defection from truth. Are we not witnessing a defection from truth? Jesus said, I am the truth. And people are looking for other ways around that truth. In other words, people are going to believe what they want to believe. That's what we do. We believe what we want to believe. If you want to believe the truth, then you will believe the truth. If you want to believe a lie, then you will believe a lie. It's your choice. I've believed lies in the past only because the lies lined up with the way I wanted to live my life. Deep down in my heart, I knew it was wrong, but I didn't want to face reality or face the truth. So I accepted the lie as my truth, as my reality. I was deceived. I believed a lie as though it were true. All the plans are in place right now, by the way, for the rebuilding of the third temple in Jerusalem. And this is significant. In fact, they just received the ashes of, or the red heifers, amen, for the ashes for the cleansing of the third temple. From Texas, they raised the red heifers that they needed. And apparently they have the ark, they have everything ready to go. Why is that significant? Because the Bible says that the Antichrist is going to actually sit himself inside that temple as though he were God. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 4 says, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, the Antichrist, sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And I've said this before, but before he can do that literally, he has to first set himself up in the hearts of people as God. People are first deceived in their hearts through false teaching, false prophets. All the plans are in place. In fact, a well-known and respected rabbi, Chaim Kanevsky, who passed away recently, claimed that he was in direct contact with the Messiah and that he will be revealed shortly. Now, this is nothing new, amen? Many times people have said they've been speaking with the Messiah. But it is an interesting time that we're living in. And we certainly know the true Messiah, amen, is not going to emerge from some political office somewhere. But he's coming in clouds of glory, and every eye will see him. Revelation 1 says, behold, 1:7 says, behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him. Even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. You know this so well. For the Lord himself will do what? Descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be what? Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. Where? In the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. So the Bible is clear that in the end times, there's going to be a defection from the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith. Apostasy. Giving heed to deceiving spirits and teachings or doctrines of demons. The word depart means to leave or desert the faith. So they were once in the faith, but they left. They deserted the faith. So repeatedly in Scripture, we're warned against falling away from God. Now, if it were not possible for us to fall away from God, Jesus would not have warned us about it. John 15 and verse 1, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. What is the branch that bears fruit? It's the Christian who's growing in the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. A plant is alive as long as it's growing. It's receiving the nourishment. Amen. And so it is. We live on him. We eat and drink of him. He is our life. Apart from him, we can do nothing. And apart from him, there is no life. So in him, we live and move and have our being. Amen. So the branch that bears fruit is the Christian. Amen. Who is growing in the Lord Jesus. Now, many people today reject biblical truths that make them uncomfortable. And Paul told Timothy this would happen, didn't he? They would turn away from hearing the truth. And as a result, many are on a slippery road to destruction because they will not embrace the truth. To take a stand for Jesus means to take a stand for truth, even if it's unpopular. Jesus said the way to life is narrow, and there are few who find it. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, it says, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." It's not a popular way, but it is the way of life. The way of life is the way of truth. The way of truth is the way of love. But evil men, in verse 13, and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And this is what we're seeing on a large scale right now. And it's all about ego. It's all about the pride of man. And these leaders getting together, and they want to be their own gods. And they're important. And they want to rule over others. They want to enslave others. Because that's how Satan operates. Amen? He is a harsh taskmaster. And at first, he comes to you with an offering that sounds very appealing, that seems to be good. But his end goal is to completely dominate and oppress you, amen, and destroy you ultimately. So he will allure us through things that appear to be good but aren't good. How many know that sin can be attractive? Otherwise, it wouldn't be a temptation. But don't be fooled. Amen. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. It's who we will serve, who we will bow to. Today, God is calling out a people throughout the earth. Those who will commit themselves to him and be loyal to him as his bride. Who will be committing themselves to a time of preparation before the coming of the great day of the Lord, amen, to receive his people, his bride, to be with him. And then the Lord's going to pour out his wrath, his judgment upon the world of the ungodly. We don't want to be here for that. Now, I know in the world we'll have tribulation, and we see that happening around us right now. There's many things that are happening right now. But I don't believe that we, as God's people, have been appointed to his wrath. The Bible makes that clear. But to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So in verse 14 again it says, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them." So would you agree with me that the truth is becoming more and more unpopular today? Listen to the word of God through Jude. It's just one chapter in verse 3 through 7, and I'll just read it to you. "Dear friends, I had been eagerly planning to write to you about the salvation we all share. But now I find that I must write about something else, urging you to defend the faith that God has entrusted once for all to his holy people. I say this because some ungodly people have wormed their way into your churches, saying that God's marvelous grace allows us to live immoral lives. And this is happening. The condemnation of such people was recorded long ago. That will be the end for those. For they have denied our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to remind you, though you already know these things, that Jesus first rescued the nation of Israel from Egypt. But later, he destroyed those who did not remain faithful." Who's he speaking to? The church. "And I remind you of the angels who did not stay within the limits of authority God gave them, but left the place where they belonged. God has kept them securely chained in prisons of darkness, waiting for the great day of judgment. And don't forget Sodom and Gomorrah and their neighboring towns, which were filled with immorality and every kind of sexual perversion. Those cities were destroyed by fire and serve as a warning of the eternal fire of God's judgment. Make no mistake about it. God's judgment is coming to the world of the ungodly. 1 Thessalonians 5:8 says this, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing, I trust. Understandably, many people today are tired of everything that's going on. They're war-tired and war-torn. There's hunger, there's crime, there's all kinds of suffering going on in the world. So this prospect of world peace is very appealing. Again, who doesn't want world peace, right? It's very alluring. But we need to be careful that we're not putting our faith in the wrong place or in the wrong person. Because man is fallible, but the Lord is trustworthy. The Lord does not fail. The Lord is the only security in this world. Amen. There will be world peace someday. Did you know that? Hallelujah. But it ain't going to be because the United Nations decides to have world peace. I'm sorry, guys, that's a lie. You're falling for a trap. The enemy is deceiving your minds into believing that somehow you can create a utopia on this planet. The Lord has to deal with the issue at heart. Amen. It's the heart of man that is wicked. It's the heart of man that needs to be changed. And only God can do that. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot change our hearts. I know we think we're good, but apart from Christ, we are not. We look around in the world today, amen, and we can see for sure, amen, that people really, if they're given the opportunity, will do unspeakable things. And that's why in Romans 13, the Lord had established that there would be laws, amen, of the lands. That there would be those in authority that are there to protect the people. Amen. Because he knows what people are like when there are no rules. And so right now the enemy is pushing lawlessness to cause chaos, to collapse our society. So then he can somehow intervene with his solution of peace. And people will begin to look to a man rather than God for help. And that's what the Antichrist is doing. He's setting the stage right now. By creating chaos worldwide, pandemics, all these things. It's all intentional. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let God be true and every man a liar. We stand for the truth. We stand for Jesus. And I have found that if I stand for Jesus, he'll stand up for me. If I confess Jesus before men, he will confess me before my Father. Amen. Heaven. So there are going to be world peace when the Prince of Peace returns to reign. Hallelujah. So no matter how crazy things get and how bad things look, look past the now to the eternal. Amen. And know that the Lord is coming. You may think you're getting away with it now, but the day is coming. When every knee will bow, every tongue will confess Jesus Christ, he is Lord. Hallelujah. The Antichrist himself will bow. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, he's going to be destroyed at the brightness of the return of Jesus. Amen. So there is a falling away from a defection from the truth today. That's why we must humble ourselves, open our hearts, and allow the Holy Spirit, amen, and the Word of God to have access to us, amen. That God will give us that new heart, that we will surrender our lives. That was a word from the Lord, amen, to surrender to him. The only way to be saved is to give up your life, to entrust your soul to the only one that can save you and keep you, trusting in the Lord with all your heart. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 4 and verse 7 says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. Do what? Have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. That word for love is the word agape. And we did a teaching recently, I've done in the past, on that word, what that means. And I'm just going to give you a little bit of from an article by Chris Legg. It's agape love is entirely above or about the lover, and has nothing whatsoever to do with the one loved. Agape love in its purest form requires no payment or favor in response. The most common word for God's love for us is agape, 1 John and John 3:16. And the love we are commanded to have for one another, Matthew 5:44 and 1 Corinthians 13, this lack of input from the recipient makes it possible for us to love our enemies, even though we may not like them or the situation they have put us in. Is it possible to love somebody but not like them? Sometimes if you're married, you don't actually like each other some days, right? But love goes deeper than liking, right? Because agape love is not in any way, dependent on circumstances. It says, I love you because I choose or commit to love you. Agape in its perfect form only exists from God outward. This kind of love is about a commitment to the very best for one another. No matter what emotions or feelings exist, love, God's love, is higher than human emotion. Eros love is human emotional love. God's love supersedes even human emotion. To where Jesus had to overcome his human emotion so that he would lay his life down for us. It was the love that was in him, amen, for us, that compelled him to go all the way to the death of the cross. For God so agapeoed the world. Amen. Today, people are presenting a gospel without the cross. And the way of the cross is actually the way of true love. There's no denying of self. And they're actually enemies of the cross. In Philippians 3:18, Paul said, I have told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. They are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and they think only about this life here on earth. They do what? They think only about this life here on earth. But then he says, shift your focus, change your mind, change your attitude, repent, right? But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. No matter how bad it looks, remember the Lord is coming. Amen? And every one of us will give an account of ourselves. Today, we can get it right. And have confidence in that day. Did you know that? As a matter of fact, we'll have confidence in the day of judgment because as Jesus was in this world, so are we. Because we've committed our lives to him and we live for him. Amen. We obey his voice. We have confidence towards God. Amen. Because we love Jesus, we do what he says. You can't know Jesus and not love Jesus. Jesus would not allow his self-life to deter him from his divine purpose. I said it this way before. You have to love your purpose more than your life. You have to love God more than you love you. You have to love God more than you love your spouse, more than you love your family. Are you hearing me, somebody? And to know him is to know a superior, eternal love. Amen. When your heart is filled with the love of God, then you have the ability to overcome yourself and to submit yourself to the will of God, even if it involves suffering. Because God's love will take you higher than even the discomfort. Amen. and even suffering that may be required as a result of your obedience. That's how the disciples could obey the Lord to the end, because of the love of God that was shed abroad in their hearts. That's how they could rejoice that they were counted worthy to receive stripes for the name of Jesus, because they were motivated by the agape love of God, and it lifted them up above their situation, where the joy of the Lord enabled them to endure suffering, even joyfully. That's a supernatural joy that comes only from Jesus. The world's joy is conditional. The world's love is conditional. I can either die to myself every day, or I can feel sorry for myself. I'm going to say it again. I can either die to myself daily or feel sorry for myself daily. You know, woe is me, pity party. The love of God takes you higher than those things. Are you hearing me, somebody? When we're in ourselves, we're easily offended. When we're in ourselves, we're easily influenced by the opinions of people. Yeah. When we're in ourselves, we want to save ourselves. But when we walk in the grace of God, He takes us higher and gives us an ability that we do not possess, humanly speaking. He gives us a supernatural power and ability to be bold in the face of opposition. That's why we must be filled with the Spirit. Amen. Filled with the Holy Spirit. We must be endued with power from on high, so that we have a supernatural confidence that comes only from God. So even if people oppose us, amen, we're not shaken by the enemy. We're not shaken by the threats of man. Amen. Because God's love casts out all fear. Amen. In our hearts. And we can stand up for Jesus. Hallelujah. And when we do, He stands up in us. True love is self-denying, self-sacrificing love, just like Jesus. True love says, regardless of how you treat me, I will not mistreat you. I choose to love you. This is God's love. Self-love requires praise from men. God's love does not. Self-love requires compliments and recognition. God's agape love does not. Self-love says, I require comfort in order to obey. God's love does not. Self-love says, it's better to take than to give. God's love says what? It's better to give. True love is demonstrated by self-denial, not self-indulgence. Forgiving others requires selflessness and obedience to God. Are you hearing me? My emotions say don't forgive. My emotion says hold a grudge. My emotions say gossip about that person. Slam them, right? Slander their character. But God's love says bless those who curse you. Pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be what? Children of your Father in heaven. Forgiveness is not optional for a believer. If God was so merciful and so good to us to give Himself for us, amen, to lay His life for us on that cross, who are we to not forgive somebody else? If you're having trouble forgiving somebody, just remember what Jesus did for you. Just remember, it was my sin, my offense that put Jesus on that cross. And even as Jesus was on that cross, He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's God's love. That's the kind of love God wants His people to be filled with. Amen. As we bow our soul to Him, as we submit ourselves to Him, as we yield to His Spirit and deny ourselves, our lives will be filled with that kind of love, the love of God, and we'll be able to overcome ourself. We'll be able to overcome the world and the devil by the power of God. Hallelujah. So let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, Philippians 2:5. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is our time to shine. It's time for the church to stand in this hour. Amen. And to take a stand with the Lord. Amen. And His agenda. And that means I have to get rid of my agenda, lay it on the altar and say, Lord, you decide what goes through the cross. Amen. If it's a no, it's a no for me. Amen. If it's a yes, okay, we go with it. But am I willing to lay down my life for Jesus and the sake of the gospel? Am I willing to give myself fully to Him? How many know the Lord said, pray the Lord of the harvest that He send forth laborers? How many here would acknowledge and say, that would be me? God wants me to be a laborer. God wants me to be a builder. God wants me to be a part of what He's doing. He wants me to commit myself fully to Him, my life to Him, to live the rest of my days for Him. The one who died for me and gave Himself for me. Does He not deserve my best? Does He not deserve the rest of my life to give myself back to Him to serve His purposes now? Out of gratitude, out of appreciation, out of love for what He did for me. Yeah, I say yes. How can I love you back, Lord, the rest of my life? God's looking for laborers. He's looking for those who will be loyal to Him. He's looking for those who will partner with Him, that will join together with Him in His mission. How many here will say, that's me, Lord, send me. Lord, I know that we want to live for You. But Lord, without Your strength, we can't. We can't live for You in ourselves. We can't fully obey You in ourselves. Lord, we need Your power. We need Your grace. We need Your help, Lord, to be able to live the life You've called us to live, Lord, to be the people we're called to be. It requires Your grace, Your Holy Spirit working. So, Lord, I acknowledge today that I am weak and incapable of living the life that honors You apart from You. So I come to You today for grace. I come to You for mercy today. Father, I ask that You give me what I need today. That You help me, Lord, that You will strengthen me by Your Spirit. Would you pray to the Lord right now in your own words? Just call out to Jesus today. God wants you to commit yourself. And if you've been away from the Lord, He wants you to give your life to Him fully. Amen? Recommit your life to Him today. Partner with Jesus. Discover the will of God for your life. And live out the purpose for your life. Never love your life more than your God-given purpose. So give your life. And find your life will be in Him. Find a superior reality, the superior life, the abundant life in the Lord as I surrender my inferior life to Him. Would you lift your hands to Him and say, Lord, I surrender. Do you mean it? Just lift your hands and say, God, I give it all to You. I give You my body, my soul, and my spirit. Use me for Your glory. Make me a blessing in this world. Lord, I pray that out of my life, Jesus would shine. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank You, Father. Hallelujah.